Now, Lori Mercier speaks with Sue Palmiter, who is co-leading the Defend Vest team with 350 PDX, about an upcoming climate justice Q&A with Oregon State Treasurer on Wednesday, May 5th at 7 p.m. The state treasury invests $118 billion, mostly PERS monies, with a portion of that invested in fossil fuel companies contributing to the climate crisis. Find out how Oregon can invest in a more sustainable future.
I'm speaking with Sue Palmiter, who is co-leading the Defund Divest team with 350 PDX, about an upcoming climate justice Q&A with Oregon's state treasurer this coming Wednesday, May 5th. Thanks for joining us today, Sue, on KBOO to talk about this important event.
Oh, thank you so much for having me and for helping your audience learn more about the treasurer's responsibility in terms of the climate crisis.
Well, tell us why 350 and dozens of other groups have organized this meeting with Oregon State Treasurer Tobias Reed.
Right. The treasurer or comptroller in other states is responsible for investing the state funds. In Oregon, there's $118 billion in state funds currently. About $80 billion of that, that's with a B again, is PERS money. And they have the fiduciary responsibility to invest it for their beneficiaries. And what we're learning is that the Oregon funds are invested, some of them, in fossil fuel infrastructure, new developments, Arctic drilling, offshore drilling, you know, fracking, things that I think most Oregonians would really be opposed to. And so we're just trying to connect the dots between the treasurer, an elected official in the state, and the climate crisis and what he and the Oregon Investment Council can do to invest our money wisely, prudently, and morally.
So this divestment movement is happening in other states. And earlier, you were telling me about New York has recently divested their $226 billion pension fund from fossil fuels. So is this part of this effort in Oregon? And is this something that's an action that's happening in other states as well?
Right. So New York State, the comptroller there, Stringer, has really taken the lead, but other states are also moving towards the divestment in fossil fuels. New York was the first state pension fund to divest from tar sands companies, and they're going to move forward with other types of fossil fuel companies. Yeah, we're hoping that this is the beginning of a discussion with our Oregon Treasury about how the pension funds are invested and wanting to exit coal. Our state is invested in coal, probably to over $100 million, not a whole lot, but still there's just no way coal is a good investment along with all the fossil fuels. So we are working with others around the country in different states like Massachusetts, California, Illinois, that are trying to move their state treasury to divest. We have had some success with the treasurer in voting the shares that they have. So they can also vote at annual general meetings of publicly traded corporations, and they can vote boards of directors or vote for or against resolutions that have impact on climate. And he did vote the Oregon shares last year in 2020 for J.P. Morgan Chase, for one of the board members who was the biggest climate denier probably in the country, Lee Raymond, who was on the J.P. Morgan Chase board. And he voted our Oregon shares to vote him off. And in the end, it was successful, and Lee Raymond is no longer on the J.P. Morgan Chase board. So, you know, our treasurer has shown some interest in moving in that direction by his votes in more of an engagement model, saying we're going to still invest, but we will vote those shares. And we're really moving towards joining other states like New York to divest completely.
So in addition to removing Oregon taxpayer investments from fossil fuels, then the state treasurer and I understand the Oregon Investment Council, which the treasurer leads, can actually influence corporate behavior as you described by getting together with other state treasurers to vote to have Lee Raymond former CEO of Exxon, removed from the board of JP Morgan Chase. So are there other ways that, I mean, 350 is trying to mobilize people within states to stop the money pipeline from financial institutions to more rapidly combat the climate crisis? I know that you've put out the Stop the Pipeline shareholder season information on your website.
So anyone that's interested, we have links that you can learn more at the 350pdx.org/actions, and you can learn about this action as well as the background material about what state treasurers can do. But when you put all the state treasury monies together for the whole country, we're talking $4 trillion. So it's a huge opportunity to motivate these institutional investors to use that money wisely. Number one, because we have a huge climate crisis on our hands. But number two, it's a fiduciary responsibility. These fossil fuel companies are losing money, and it's not good fiscal responsibility to continue to invest in them. They have to start transitioning. And the states that wait the longest are going to have the most loss in their investments. It's really both of those. And then when you start multiplying it to that $4 trillion amount, we at 350 are working with the Stop the Money Pipeline Coalition, which is a coalition of about 150 Greens around the country that are working together to really follow the money. There are different levers that we can use to fight the climate crisis. One is legislative, like the Oregon Clean Energy Opportunity that I'm sure your listeners are familiar with, the what's going on in the Oregon legislature there with healthy homes and so forth. Then there's the regulatory things. You can try to block permits, like the Jordan Cove blocking of permits, which was successful. And then there's the financial piece of it, and that's what the Stop the Money Pipeline Coalition is working on that we're very involved with. And that's looking at asset managers, banks like JP Morgan Chase, the largest funder of fossil fuels in the world, and insurance companies who insure these projects and also invest in them. And then there are these institutional investors like the treasurers around the country. And that's just a huge opportunity to really start looking at how we can leverage that piece. So we're all about follow the money, and we feel like that's how decisions end up getting made, and so that's why we're doing this laser focus on our state treasury and our state treasurer on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. He will be there to talk to us, but we'll be having stakeholders that are going to ask questions, and folks like the president of the SEIU, who's one of our co-sponsors, to teachers who are invested in PERS, to young people who are really concerned about their future and how our state is investing in that future.
And it sounds like this kind of mobilization at the state and local level can have immediate impact. I mean, just from the example that you described from last year, last May, about this kind of grassroots or pressure on Treasurer Reed led to his willingness to vote Lee Raymond off the board of JP Morgan Chase. Mm-hmm. Do you and 350 and others see this direction of mobilizing within states as a real avenue to more quickly trying to halt the fossil fuel and pools chain and combating the climate crisis?
That is what we will probably be looking at moving forward, is to be in coalition with our other 350s throughout the state, down in Eugene, Deschutes, Salem, and so forth. And then, other Greens in the area like the Sierra Club and Sunrise and XR, along with church groups like First Unitarian and all the Indivisibles in the state and others that have come alongside us with this event. We'll see what the next steps are. We'll see if the treasurer really hears our demands and our ask of really telling us what they're investing. We have yet to really understand how the money is invested and how much of it is in fossil fuels. It's not transparent at all. And so we're trying to just get that information. We're trying to continue to ask the treasurer to pressure corporations to move towards sustainability. And then, see how Oregon can make their way to ending these investments that aren't making clear, verifiable progress. Clearly, we've heard from him that it's very difficult, and we understand that, but clearly New York State is figuring it out. And if New York State, with their vast treasury, can figure it out, then we feel Oregon, you know, can too. Yeah.
Right, right. Well, Sue Palmiter, tell us again about this meeting on Wednesday, the details, how folks can register, and any other details you think we should pass on.
Oh, thanks. Thanks so much, Lori. Yeah, it's May 5th. That's Wednesday from 7 to 8 p.m. And this is the Climate Justice Q&A with Treasurer Tobias Reed. And you can get the registration link and a lot more information at 350pdx.org/action. So that's 350pdx.org/action. And there'll be lots of information about what we're going to be doing at the Q&A with the treasurer, along with how it all works, how our treasury works, how Treasurer Reed works with the Oregon Investment Council, and how he is an elected official and responsible to beneficiaries and to the state. So really appreciate taking the time today to have your listeners understand this important issue in our state.
Yeah, well, thanks, Sue, for all your work and PDX's, 350's work on this event. And we will post on the Old Mole website, on the KABU website, the links to Wednesday's event. Thanks again.
Thank you.